tonight, we may finish up on our study of the fruit of temperance, which is the last of nine that we've been studying. And tonight, again, it's something that is rarely preached on, and that is temperance of our emotions and our speech. Again, self-control, where we bring ourselves under the control, the leadership, the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, and bow and submit to the authority of the Word of God. That's what self-control, what temperance is all about. Believers must guard against and learn to control feelings of anger and rage. It's inconsistent with our profession of faith to display a mean and angry spirit towards those that we may disagree with. Anger in itself is not sinful, as long as it's controlled and subdued. There is such a thing as a righteous anger. But Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." I'm angry when I see the ungodliness that is prevalent in our nation. I'm angry that secular humanism has become a state religion, and evolution and abortion and critical race theory and all of communism, Marxism, is being shoved down the throats of people in our schools, in the media, in pop culture. That makes me angry. But I hope it's a righteous anger. But it is a grievous sin when you lose your temper and you do or say hateful and even violent things to those who have incurred your displeasure. You know, uncontrolled anger, it can break up homes, it can hurt children, and be the cause of a lifetime of emotional turmoil for those who are angry all the time, and also those who that anger is directed towards. So we have to be careful not to lash out at others in a wrathful or a malicious manner. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." It is better to be able to control your feelings of anger and exhibit patience than to be the mightiest of warriors. Proverbs 19:11 says, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." Jerry Bridges, who wrote the book on godliness, said, "An uncontrolled temper is a contradiction in the life of a person who is seeking to practice godliness. Outbursts of temper are harmful, not only because they release our own ungoverned sinful passions, but more importantly, because they wound those who are the recipients of such outbursts. In this respect, temper is a unique challenge in the area of self-control. Ungoverned thoughts and other emotions are sins within our own minds. They harm only ourselves, unless, of course, they lead to sinful words or actions. But uncontrolled temper damages the self-respect of others, creates bitterness, and destroys relationships. So you see, when you're always angry and you're lashing out and you're not controlling your tongue and you're saying hurtful things and mean things and you're being mean to people, it hurts other people. It damages them. Now, another set of emotions that we need to learn to control, and this is a big one, feelings of resentment, self-pity, and bitterness when things don't go our way. Discontentment, where we're never satisfied with what God has given to us. Whereas feelings of anger are usually vented and directed at others, feelings associated with resentment and bitterness, they simmer down within our hearts and they rob us of joy and spiritual strength. You show me somebody that always feels resentful, who's bitter, who's got a critical spirit, who has no joy, and I'll show you an ineffective, lackluster, backslidden Christian. These feelings arise when we view our circumstances from a carnal point of view. Why do people get resentful, bitter? Why do they feel like they're not getting what they feel they deserve? Well, most of the times, because they think too highly of themselves. If you're humbled before God and you understand what His grace has done in your life, every day should be a blessing to you. Every day that you're alive, that you can read the Word, that you can go to church, that you have food in your belly, you ought to be thankful. You have so much to rejoice in, to be thankful for. If there's anybody that should not be resentful or bitter or discontented, it's somebody that's saved, washed in the blood, indwelt by the Spirit, who has all the promises that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Well, there shouldn't be a resentful, bitter bone in our bodies. Sometimes, though, we're resentful and bitter because in our hearts we feel as though we deserve better than what we're getting. And those kind of feelings may arise when we see the blessings of others and grow bitter because we don't have the things that they do. So if you find yourself despising the blessings of others and questioning why you don't receive such things, it means that you're prone to the sin of resentment. You're prone to this sin of bitterness toward God in your life. When we harbor those feelings, in essence, what we're really doing is saying, Lord, we despise your providence. We don't like the way you're running things. We think we deserve much better. You see, in reality, our bitterness, our discontentment, our resentment are feelings that are directed toward God for not giving us what we feel like we should have. And we need to fight those kind of feelings before they gain control of our lives. Because I'll tell you what, if you get resentful, if you get bitter, if you're ate up with a critical, mean spirit, then you know what? You're going to be miserable. You're not going to have any joy. You're always going to see the evil in people. You're always going to be looking for the worst. Rather than counting your blessings, rejoicing in God and His grace. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, bitterness doesn't just affect you. It can affect your wife, your husband, your children, your family, your workplace. Bitter, resentful, miserable people have the effect of making other people uncomfortable and miserable as well. I have never met a bitter Christian who didn't affect others with the poison of his or her bitterness and resentment. And that's why we're commanded to control and put away those kind of fleshly emotions. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Are you the kind of person that if somebody sees you at Walmart, they start dodging you? You ever seen somebody at Walmart and said, oh, let's go the other way. That's so-and-so. I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be the kind of person that is a blessing to other people, an encouragement to other people. When I go to Walmart or I go to food fair, I'm always smiling. I go out of my way to be nice to people, especially when so many people are wearing masks. I don't wear a mask, but I want them to see that I'm not sick and I'm happy, and I want them to be happy. Then thirdly, I hope Mike DeWine didn't hear that part. He'd already sent a surveillance cat to our on Buffalo Creek to our house. And then thirdly, our inward emotions and attitudes directly influence our speech. So we have to learn to control our tongues for the glory of God. Feelings of anger, resentment, and bitterness often result in speech that dishonors God if they're not brought under control. Hurtful and hateful words are like shotgun blasts. Once they're released, they do a lot of damage that can't be recalled. I've never been shot. I've been shot by a BB gun. But I've never been shot by a gun. I watched a documentary the other day of a baseball player that tried to commit suicide. He put the gun to his head and to his temple, and it shot this eye out, his right eye, and bounced off his nose and went out that way so it didn't go to his brain. But it was amazing to me that he survived, because he woke up, and then that night he went to bed and he almost bled out. The next day he woke up and called 911 later that afternoon, and he survived it. And they were telling his story. But I thought, you know what? That one bad decision that he made in that split second to put that gun to his head, that's going to affect him the rest of his life. And he'll never be able to regain his sight. And as I thought about that, our words sometimes can have damage like that in people's lives. And it may damage people for life. I got to watch myself because I kid around a lot, especially with my grandkids. And I got to be careful. I love them. I want the best for them. I want them all to be saved. I want them all to walk in God's ways. But we got to be careful the way we talk to people. Hurtful and hateful words can do a lot of damage. And how many times have we been guilty of not governing our tongues and saying things that have deeply hurt others? We need to learn to govern and temper our words. We have a holy standard in Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What a standard that is. To have speech that's edifying and that ministers grace to others. One of the truest measures of spiritual growth and grace and maturity and fruitfulness is the temperance of your tongue, according to James chapter 3 and verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Proverbs 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. With these scriptures in mind, let's all of us refrain from backbiting, from gossip, talebearing, and hurtful speech. And may we be more like the psalmist who said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Psalm 39:1. Now we've gone through a lot of areas of self-control, of temperance, being under the control of the Holy Spirit and the authority of the Word of God. We ought to temper our bodies and bring them into subjection to Christ. We ought to have temperance of mind, what we take in, temperance of our emotions, our speech. I pray that God will help us and see how vital all of these areas of being under the control of the Spirit, how important they are to spiritual life. Because if you get off kilter in any of those things, it can make you feel burdened and guilty and wore out by this world. May God grant us the grace to never underestimate the importance of temperance as we serve the Lord. And I want to close with this quote from old George Bethune. He said, this subject might be enlarged upon much more, but let us leave it here. The consecration of the heart to God by faith in His Son, daily prayer for the grace of His Spirit, daily study of His holy Word, daily industry in doing good, and the daily denial of our fleshly appetites, that we may have time and strength and purity of purpose for the blessed service of God, making His glory our chief aim and finding our happiness in His glory, and living as far as in us lies, free from the shackles of the flesh and the attractions of earth, that we may be body, soul, and spirit willing and continual sacrifices to God are the true methods of cultivating that temperance which is the fruit of the Spirit.